Corla's having Whimsky.
Corla's having Whimsky.
It's Data Transfer Season 2, Episode 6. I'm Audrey.
I prefer to call it recording juice, and I'm Corla.
Do you know what I used to call beer during the first couple years of Radio Free Tote Bag?
Foamy pee?
Podcast fluid.
Podcast fluid. I like juice better. That actually implies you're allowed to drink it.
Well, I thought podcast fluid.
Hear me out. Sounds like brake fluid.
That's what I was saying. It sounded like I lubricated the podcast.
No, but brake fluid is not something you would put in a human body.
Ah, but it is. But podcast fluid is something you would put in a podcast.
That to me sounds like WD-40 for your mic stand or something.
Nah, it's WD-40 for my jokes.
WD-40 for my junk.
You know what's funny? For a while there, during the run of Radio Free Tote, I actually quit drinking entirely because I was a bit of a problem drinker at the time following the 2020 pandemic. You may remember it was a whole thing. You had to like stay inside. You weren't allowed to go anywhere. Yep. I was drinking 230 racks of High Life a week. So that's 60 beers for the people keeping track at home. 60 beers a week. It's about 10 a day. Thereabouts, or close to 8, I guess, because you would, you know, drink some more some days and, you know, 7 days or whatever. And I was, there was one time I got, like, withdrawal symptoms. I, like, didn't drink one night, and then that evening I got really nauseous.
Aww.
And I Googled it, and it was like, oh, you're having withdrawal symptoms from alcohol. And I was like, fuck. God damn it. So I quit for a little while, and I remember feeling like, man, I'm not going to be as funny on the show.
Which is so fucking stupid,
because I was, by the end of every episode, I was fucking hammered. Like, the last third of every episode of Radio Free Tote Bag from the first 2 years of recording, I was incomprehensible.
In fairness, you kind of have to drink to get through eggdom.
Sure. Like, yeah, you know what? It was about the end of 2020 when I started to figure some shit out. So
Yeah. Turns out you don't have to, like, one, you kind of do have to lean on substances to keep you going when you're, like, living in the wrong body and don't have the words to articulate it or a plan to change that. And more to the point, when you do get on the right path, you don't need it as much. You can drink as a social thing.
Yeah, you drink for fun as opposed to...
You can get a six-pack and drink till there's one beer left.
There's only one beer left. Rapper screaming all up in our ears like we're deaf.
Tempt me. Do a number on the label.
Beat up all the MCs. What is it? Beat up all the MCs and drink them under the table like it's on me. Put it on my tab, kid. However you get there, foot it, cab it, iron horse it, something on your face, forfeit.
Here's a little trick. If you ever record your own podcast and you need to take a drink, but you don't want to leave dead space, just bring up your co-host's hyperfixation.
They'll fill it in for you.
Yeah. Don't just go vamp for me. Like, bring up the MF Doom or some shit.
Just be like, hey, Audrey, do you know the lyrics to the MF Doom verse from Raid?
Audrey, no.
I just drop it.
No, we already did the bit. How are you?
I'm not bad. You know, yesterday I went into my workplace, and on the way to my workplace, my coworker texts me and says, hey, power's out. I'm leaving. And I'm like, oh,
okay.
So I text my boss and I'm like, hey, power's out. Should I just skedoodle back home? Would that be okay? And she's like, no, someone needs to be there to cover the furniture. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, okay, fine. So I come in at noon. And I sit there with my coworkers for 5 hours, 5 hours of my life. Power never comes back on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like sitting there fucking twiddling my thumbs, looking at Twitter and shit. And finally they let us leave. They came up with, the district manager came up with this asinine shit where she's like, well, we have to stay up until it's dark. Or people have to stay here in case the power comes on until it's dark out.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so, it's like, what's the fucking difference? You get 3 hours of no revenue because nobody's going to come into the shop because you've been closed all fucking day.
Uh-huh.
They just assume
it's closed today.
Yeah. They should have just said, "We're, you know, power's out. We're going to be closed today."
Yeah, but no, you have to absolutely squeeze every last bit of exploitation out of your workers as you can.
Yeah, to no benefit to the business. We didn't sell a single thing. And they just like, I guess their thought process was, okay, our rules are act of God. We pay everybody what they were scheduled that day if we can't be open.
Mm-hmm.
I guess their thought was, well, we already got you on payroll. We might as well try to get you here in case the power comes back on.
Right, right. Again, it's power. It's, yeah. I had to get the most out of you I can for the money.
So this morning, I leave, I get home, no internet still. I fuck around for a few hours, and then I get the internet back, and I end up going to bed or whatever, blah, blah, blah. This morning, I wake up to a text from one of the managers that says, hey, Audrey, power's still out. And I'm like, yes, 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 yes. And she's like, don't come in today.
I was on call. I heard.
Yeah. I think I did do exactly that.
Yeah. You were fist pumping. It was great.
So I was supposed to be in at 11. About
like fat bastard taking a shit.
About 11:30, about a half hour after I was supposed to be in, I end up going and down and taking a nap. Because I'm like, well, I ain't got to be in work today. I might as well take a little sleepy sleep. So I do that. I wake up 4 hours later. It was quite the nap. And I wake up to a text at 12:15. So 45 minutes after I went to sleep.
Uh-huh.
One of my bosses texts me and says, hey, power's back on. Would you mind terribly coming in and working half your shift? But I was fucking asleep. So by the time I got up, there was like 2 hours left in the day. And I was like, oh, let me get the exact text because it's funny.
Okay.
I'm going to pull up what I said to my manager, Veronica. I was asleep. I had a couple of things I was going to do with my time off, and I missed y'all for like 3 hours, so I'm venturing a no.
Venturing a no.
Yeah.
You're so bad at just saying no flat out.
Nah, because I wanted to leave the door open for them to be like, Audrey, we need you. And then me get to be kind of the hero. You know what
no.
I mean? Audrey, we need you. Okay. I'll do it. Feels good,
Audrey,
to be needed, you know?
Your coworkers are people and deserve your respect and care. Your workplace is not people. And your workplace is trying to exploit you at every step, and you need to remember it's an adversarial relationship. You can't be trying to derive self-esteem or any kind of personal drive from making your boss feel good about you.
I will say that coming through for my coworkers would have been my real motivation.
Okay.
Somebody was there and running the shop today. Wasn't me, but somebody was there, and I would have made it easier for them to do that if I had been there.
Sure. But I don't know if you can tell, but I've tried to tell you this many times before, and it doesn't stick, and it's very infuriating.
I see.
Like, damn, I don't get near as much respect as you give your workplace.
What do you mean?
If people generally respected me that hard, or like tried, like went hand over fist trying to please me that hard, I would be in a much more comfortable position.
Do I not?
No, you do, but I'm saying, okay, you can't treat your workplace like it's your fucking like fin dom, right? Doesn't,
I
mean, like
it is
you back.
How I get my money. That is how I pay for my living.
No, fin, you give money to fin doms. Audrey. Oh.
Well, you know what? I'm fin doming my workplace. That little pay pig is
going
to give me money.
You're not. You're fin subbing. That's the thing. Is you're being a little fucking piglet.
Wait,
suckling
at
the teeth.
They give me money though.
Yeah, you are taking what meager amounts they give you and begging for just for that much.
Yeah, that'll be capitalism for you.
And it's not okay. I hate seeing it happen day by day, and I hate seeing you be like, "It's normal. It's okay." It's not.
Jobs are not normal. Stop going to them.
Yeah, capitalist workplaces, not normal. Not where humans fucking deserve to be.
I mean, I fully fucking agree with that. You know, it's funny. I was talking to a coworker of mine the other day, and we were talking about not coming into work. Or like we were talking about doing a mass exodus of the furniture department. Like, she was like, what if we all just quit on the same day?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's called a general strike. What if everybody quit every job on the same day.
Yeah.
How fast would everything grind to a fucking halt? And if we had some sort of organizing principle to that, where we demanded, I don't know, better wages, hours, benefits, you know, all the things that we desperately fucking need as a class.
Yep.
What if we did that? And she just kind of like glazed over a little bit and like kind of lost the plot. And I was like, no, that's real. It's called a general strike and we should do it as a class. Not well.
Yeah.
Workers of the world, rise up. You have nothing to lose but your chains.
Absolutely. And your Xbox, but Xbox sucks anyway.
You lose your Xbox.
Yeah, you fucking loser. Quit playing on Xbox.
Don't play on Xbox. Get a PlayStation.
Xbox is solely for 12-year-olds who have a great vocabulary, but only when it comes to racial slurs.
They have an excellent slur vocabulary. They're pulling out shit that hasn't been heard since the 50s.
Yeah, exactly. They pull out shit from the 1910s that you're like, I'm not... Was that ever an insult to anyone? And you look it up and you go, oh no!
Oh,
killed
that's
people
horrifying.
Over this word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Woo! What just are some vintage slurs? Let's share some vintage slurs that we know. I'm kidding. Let's not do that.
No. You almost
got
me,
really
too.
I do know some really wacky ones, though, that you hear them and you're like, that's a slur? And then you learn the context behind them and you're like, oh, that's disgusting!
Oh, that's awful!
Yeah.
Oh, that's a murder word.
Oh, that's a word that people, yeah, they would kill people using that word. Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Help. Which is that even for a given
even
point in history?
What was the one? I'm going to look this up because it's interesting.
No. Audrey.
Etymology of the word bad.
Oh, okay.
Bad. Everyone knows what bad means. It means bad. It means the opposite of good. Right?
Uh-huh.
Middle English, perhaps from Old English, badel, hermaphrodite or womanish man.
Oh. Okay. This is metrosexual, but back before that was a thing.
Specifically trans people back then,
yeah,
they saw them and they were like, oh, opposite of good.
Yeah.
And that persists, and there's no way that we can't get rid of the word bad,
right? But also it's so far removed from its context now that the word bad is not necessarily doing any harm in the way that the f-word might be.
Sure. F-slur, t-slur, s-slur.
Let's stop. There's no reason to just list them all and make the listeners think them in their heads. That sucks.
Yeah, no, that's
George
true.
Carlin had a bit about how that's fucking cowardice.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then, like, the people who say, like, crackers as bad as the N-word. And it's like, well, you said one of them and you wouldn't say the other one. Which
right.
Means the one is not as bad as the other one, you dumb asshole.
Right. I'm sure, like, amongst themselves, fucking white nationalist dipshits say cracker as the C word because they're fucking dumbasses.
I was taking it the other way. I'm like, of course they use the one, but...
Oh, yeah, it's flipped. They're like, we would never call someone a C word. Oh, but I'm done with this bit. I'm not doing it. You keep almost getting me. Hey, Audrey.
What's up?
How am I? Thanks for asking.
Oh, you hit me with mine one.
I hit you with yours. See how that feels? Doesn't feel great.
Pretty good. I feel okay.
No.
What's up with you, though?
Well, last time we tried to record, this segment is the one where I fucked it all up. So what if I just say I'm having a rough one? And yeah.
Okay.
I
want to give you some pushback. You didn't fuck it up. What you did was you shared what was in your heart, and it meant that you weren't in a great place to do this at the moment, and so we took a little break, and now here we are.
Yeah, I fucked up recording yesterday.
I wouldn't characterize it as that.
Well.
Because I love you, and you're wonderful, and I care about you, and I want you to feel good.
But yeah, I'm not feeling too great about myself right now. I'm not... feeling too great about my daily routine. And
we're gonna play Magic after this, though, so that's pretty cool.
That'll be fun. Yay.
Should I build Zedru before we do this tonight?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that.
That gives me time to smoke, I guess.
Nice. More than that. It's going to take me a minute to build this bitch.
I remade my pinky deck.
Yeah.
If we're talking about Magic.
And you made a motherfucker angry.
With a very fair play, I just want to say. Like,
it
an incredibly fair move.
It was 9 mana to do it. There are cards.
2 cards.
There are cards that do what that 9 mana combo did. That is, it's one card. There's plenty of shit, like in Garrick's Wake. Is, I believe, an 8 mana sorcery, destroy all creatures you don't control.
Yep.
Which is essentially what you did amounted to.
Yeah. What I did was I put down a card, sorcery speed, wipes everything that's not a land off of the board. Just
farewell
all of it.
For the nerds.
Mm-hmm. And
except
then,
for Planeswalkers, doesn't hit Planeswalkers.
While that's on the stack, maintaining priority, I played Teferi's Protection. Which
all your shit phases out, your life total can't change.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And it wiped, it did what it was supposed to. No one could counter it, so it wiped the board. And one guy was just like, I wasn't here for fucking CEDH. All right, y'all were lying about the power levels of your decks. And I'm like, okay, I'll take
mine
that
died.
Under advisement.
Yeah, you played that really well. I was almost like, hey, bitch. In
I
fact,
like,
I did kind of.
I hear
in fact,
you. I understand your frustration. You are being a little bitch.
You are losing this game now. Also, the man didn't do much the whole game. He just kind of played. He played Legos poorly on his.
You know what
board.
He did do that whole game? Was keep me down.
Yeah, he did fuck you over pretty
good
at the start.
He put all his removal into my shit and then complained when he couldn't fucking counter or remove one more thing that finally got through.
Yeah. Silly. Silly shit.
He did apologize at the end of the game.
He did apologize.
He was like, okay, I may have been a little more mad than that deserved, but, you know, still dunking on him. Fuck you. I beat your ass.
Fuck you, dude. Beat you bad. And I mean, I lost that game too. You know what I mean? I lost to that play, and I was like, well, win some, you lose some. That's the attitude to take. Because we're not playing
game.
For fucking money. We're not in a tournament. We're just sitting around playing a game.
How long has ante been not a thing anymore because of gambling
1995.
Laws? 1995. Okay, yeah. So you're 29 years too late to be upset, my guy?
Yeah. And even then, you would have just gotten the top card of his library. It could have been a fucking basic land. That's how ante worked.
Yeah.
Which I actually think that was a cool mechanic and something that should be brought back somewhat. Not necessarily giving a card away, but I think you should like build your commander deck, cut it, your opponent takes the top card, flips it off, it's RFG. It's exiled. So one card from your deck is exiled every game. I think that would be a cool mechanic.
Yeah. I mean, that would be an interesting thing for like a consecutive games digital thing.
That would be very cool.
Like, they have that thing where you take two half decks and smush them together.
Yeah, Jumpstart.
They've already got the basic idea down, or like the programming for it in there.
It'd be really cool.
Yeah, it'd be neat.
We should propose that as a format.
I'm doing poorly, except in the rare moments where I actually get to hang out with people and play games that I like with them. Which isn't very often because I'm up all fucking night and asleep through the day. Because I'm fat and I struggle to share a tiny bed.
You're not fat. You're big boned.
I'm fat.
I mean, you are.
It's hot, but I'm fat. Like, that's just true.
That happens to me all the time at work. I'll make reference to being fat and they'll be like, Audrey, you're not fat. You're pretty. You know what I mean? Something like that.
No, and I'm fat and sexy.
Like, I looked at him and I was like, the two are not mutually exclusive.
Thank you. Yes. If anything, they're mutually inclusive.
Yeah.
Get some meat on them bones.
Get some meat on them bones.
Why don't you find yourself a nice guy or gal or NB or agender person or gender fluid, and just have them be like, "Oh, I know you feel full, but I know you can fit another bite in there. Just here, I'll pick it up. I'll take it right to your mouth. But there you go.
There you go. Hey, Shannon." You want to talk about Digimon?
So cute when you're all stuffed up and round.
You want to talk about Digimon?
Yeah, let's talk about stuffing Digimon big and round.
This episode is entitled Hikari's Memories, or in the English version, guardian angel. The episode synopsis begins like this. As the Digidestined continue to demolish the control spires and free parts of the digital world and the Digimon there from the Digimon Emperor's control, they soon find themselves outnumbered against an army of Gardramon defending their domed city and the spire located there. We had some speculation about the origins of the city. I think we get that resolved towards the end of the episode, but we were like, what's this? Where's this come from? With the Digimon low on energy to maintain their armored Digivolved forms, they retreat back to the real world, but before Kari can retreat, a Gardramon destroys the television, leaving her stranded in the city, surrounded by hostile Gardramon with her partner.
Yeah, it's a rough situation, actually.
Yeah.
They're doing, like, a guerrilla attack. They almost all get out, and then a fucking missile comes down on the TV.
TK like, and Daisuke are both like, oh, fuck, I should have noticed. We should have stayed for her. It should have been me. They both had, like, survivor's guilt about her being
trapped. In fairness, TK starts off with survivor's guilt. Daisuke is like, yeah, you fucking asshole. You abandoned her. Say it. Say you've abandoned your boy.
I want to have a backslide. Daisuke and TK decide to head back via the television in another room close to the city, while Yole and Cody remain behind to avoid raising concerns from their family due to it being close to dinner time. A rare A-B plot out of Digimon. Usually it's all A plot, but we got the B plot of them hanging back in the real world to, like, alert the parents and, like, do subterfuge to keep everyone from being worried about Daisuke, TK, and Kari.
Yeah.
As Kari and Gatomon, as Nefertimon, you could have just said as Kari and Nefertimon, attempt to find another television to retreat back home to the real world, watching from his headquarters, the Digimon Emperor decides to send a, quote, old friend of the Digidestined to deal with Kari to Wormmon's horror. Wormmon's like perfect level.
Yeah, seriously? Wormmon's like, are you fucking serious?
You're high as hell, dude. He's like, no way.
Like, you're gonna hit me for saying anything, but this is a dumb move.
This is dumb ass. So Matt has to deal with Davis' sister June. Ty, Yole, and Cody head back in to save his little sister.
Yeah.
In the digital world with no control spires nearby, Patamon digivolves to Angemon, and I pogged. Not gonna play it cool. I pogged. Seeing Angemon back. I pogged harder than Daisuke and Vimon did.
Yeah. So good.
It's great. I love that Patamon had the idea too. He's like, wait a minute. There's no control spire around here. And TK's like, that's fucking right. Why don't you turn into the baddest ass champion that ever was?
Yeah. Why don't you turn into the champion that might as well be an ultimate? It's so good. Not only that, we get the original Digimon sequence, but with the D3 device.
Cool. Very cool.
It's good. It's good shit. I'm such a fucking baby. It works on me.
It worked on me so well, too. So Angemon flies over the dunes and puts his staff behind him and then whips his staff forward. And it hits the Gardramon right in the control ring.
Yeah, he gets the Skyrim sneak attack 5x bonus.
He gets the 5x bonus because he specced into it. Normally it's 3x, but he got the 5x.
Yep.
And he fucking bink and just like bounces the staff up into the air, flies next to the now inert Gardramon, and then catches the staff.
Like, yeah. Fuck yeah. It makes a noise as if he's summoning it back, but I like to think he just fucking caught it because he's that cool.
Because he's that fucking cool. He's that
so
skilled.
Cool.
Like, and it's funny because Angemon, I was always kind of like, yeah, it's Angemon. But like over the course of the first season, watching Angemon just repeatedly, like, at least stand up to ultimate levels as a champion. Very, very, very cool.
Yeah.
I'm thinking specifically Angemon of the time he fought Piedmon as Angemon.
Angemon, sorry. I heard Angemon.
No, I'm thinking specifically of the time that Piedmon and Angemon fought.
Yeah. And he got in a hit that made Piedmon go, ooh, you fucker.
Piedmon was like, ow, shit, no fucking way.
You piece of shit.
You little piece of shit.
I'm gonna get you. I live in a society.
Yeah. So he takes out the lone Gardramon guarding the entrance to the city, but once inside, reverts back to the spires due to the spires' influence. He's like, oh, man.
Yeah, as soon as they get in the room, he's like, ah, fuck, okay.
He looked like he was walking like he was going to take this whole fucking city by himself.
He was.
He was like.
He just completely forgot about that part, I guess.
Let's see, Gardromon.
Gart.
I want to know. It's a champion level.
Gart.
Gardromon is. So he could have done it. I'm confident that he could have taken an army of Gardromon.
Gart.
Gart. And then Daisuke's like, listen, when you digivolve, like for real, like instead of this armor bullshit, you gotta be like twice, you gotta be like Mega Angemon.
Yeah, V-mon, yeah.
V-mon's like, that's not how that works. And Patamon,
V-mon's like, I'm clearly a dinosaur type.
I'm like a dinosaur one.
Like, you don't go from dinosaur to angel unless you're playing one of the RPG games.
Yeah. And Patamon, I think, like, there's maybe some cut content or something, because I didn't get how Patamon was teasing them. But he lands on TK's head, and TK says, don't tease them, Patamon. And Patamon's like,
yeah, I think Patamon was just like, yeah, fucking try it, idiots. Good luck.
Yeah. It was cut content because Patamon pulled a gun out and shot, like, pointed it at Daisuke.
Shot at their feet, made them dance.
By the time Daisuke and TK find Kari, they are confronted by none other than Andromon, who Kari and TK recognize, but
Andromon.
Is under the influence of a dark ring.
Our
cool
boy.
To see Andromon back. Or Andromon. I keep switching Andromon to Andromon. I may have said Andromon earlier. But yeah, he's there. He like marches towards them after they take out some Gardromon as they get to Kari. And Andromon comes out and is just like, what's up? I'm going to get you. I'm going to get your ass.
Yeah, he's like, mission, kill these fucking children. Yeah,
murder these children. Kari is like, oh, hey, it's Andromon. What's up?
And then sees his new fashion accessory.
And goes, oh, she's a little reluctant. TK and TK's like, he won't recognize you. He's under the control of the Dark Ring. And Kari's like, that's not true. Like, I know it. I know this is going to work.
Yeah.
Let's cut back to the B plot just briefly. Yole is at the convenience store getting some food because you gotta feed the Digimon. Because like
very,
they know
very banal moment of just like, hey, if you, when your brother or sister shows up, you mind telling them to man the shop?
And she's like, okay.
Fucking
little Yori's outside.
He's outside on the payphone.
Yeah, he's making a call to Daisuke's. No, not Daisuke's folks. Ty's folks.
Ty's folks because of Kari, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, so she's going to be a little late getting home.
She may be stuck in the digital world, and Ty's just like, hey, she's at a friend's house. I'll go pick her up.
Yeah, I'll go pick her up. No big
He's
deal.
So used to lying to his mom with a smile on his face.
So smooth. I was hoping we would get like a, hey, mom, what's for dinner? Onion juice.
No, you know, I like, don't think that's a bit in the Japanese.
I liked it in the English, at least.
I don't know. It like
Chovy paste on crackers. That's what
they
we're
doing
dinner.
That whole bit for the entire season one, also that they could sell Izzy getting the runs in the movie. That was all that was building up to.
Oh, that's awesome.
Is Izzy has to take a shit because he ate bad mom food.
Matt meets up with Ty. Ty's like, did you, or Matt's like, did you get a call? Ty's like, oh yeah. Like I'm all over it. You go tell Daisuke. You go tell Daisuke's family that he's gonna be late. So Matt's like, okay, cool, I'll do that. He goes to Daisuke's family's house and is like, and his sister June opens the door.
That's right. I forgot that's who that was.
Yeah, and Matt's like, hey, so Daisuke is at a special soccer practice. Like he just like whiffs it like entirely, like doesn't tell a good lie. And June's like, listen, I know you're lying, but I will tell my folks that that's what is going on if you go on a date with me later, and closes the door. And Matt's like, a date?
He's so upset. The boy
is so mad.
Fucking like livid that he has to go on a date with this girl.
A date? I'm a gay trans man. I don't want to go on a date with a girl.
I don't want to see any pussy but my own.
Exactly. And then we cut back to the digital world. After Andromon subdues the armored Digimon, so Pegasmon and Flamedromon roll up, and they try to attack Andromon.
Mm-hmm.
Flamedromon does the like flame dive move where he like wreathes himself in flame and then shoots at Andromon. Yeah. Andromon's just like spiral blade and like shoots the attack at him. They intercept in midair, and Vemon is just like digivolves in an instant and flies back off the attack.
Yep. Just knocks, just keep KTFO.
Fucked him right up. Now Pegasmon, having previously seen Andromon in combat, sees the spiral blade coming and dodges to the right.
Yep.
Out of the way of the path. And then Andromon has apparently learned some new tricks because the spiral blade comes around in an arc and hits Pegasusmon in the back.
That motherfucker PK fires him from the back.
Yeah.
Just fucking rotates that shit 90 degrees.
He bent it like
degrees.
Beckham, baby. He fucking.
Yeah, he did the destructo disc fucking boomerang move.
Yeah. It was really cool. I think that was a neat little piece of a fight scene.
It was. Like, it was really neat. Like, oh, yeah. Fuck. Not only is he way stronger, but also he's just, like, tactically really good.
Incredibly skilled. So after Andromon subdues the armored Digimon, he hesitates as he analyzes the goggles on Daisuke and recognizes them as the same one that Tai wore.
Yeah. It's, like, activating his memory banks underneath all the corruption or whatever.
Yeah. Tai rolls up with Yole and Cody, and they try to beat up on Andromon.
Digimon fires every drill, and they bounce back to him, and he reacts as if he bit tinfoil. He's like, ah, I don't like how that feels.
That was no good. So he sees Tai as well, and is like, ooh, same human. That's Tai. I know that guy. He's from my past.
Yep.
And it shows the little, like the image when he looks at Daisuke and sees the goggles.
Yeah,
like tracks
it shows
over and he's
the
like,
little...
same item. And it's from a specific little still that we're going to get to in a second.
Yeah,
that almost
he's like,
made me fucking cry.
Cross referencing a still image in his memory.
Yeah, and you can't really tell what it is at first. And then he sees Tai again and he goes, oh, same human. And then Kari starts walking forward like, he has to recognize me.
Right.
He has to know. Sees her, same human, same photo. And then he, like, the dark ring starts to spark and he, like, freaks out. He swings his arm around like a five-year-old trying to fight somebody.
Yeah, both his arms just kind of rotate 180 degrees.
And he walks over to her, snatches her up and picks her up by the arms and is looking up at her. And then Kari sheds a single tear, which falls down and lands on Andromon's cheek.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna see if this is at all in the synopsis here. So the dark ring begins to function, causing Andromon to pick Kari up, recognizing her from his memory banks before Kari's D3 falls along with the tear and causes Andromon to remember the commemorative photo he took with the Digidestined Genii and their Digimon allies after they defeated Apocalypsemon 3 years ago.
Including?
My boy! Including Ogremon! He's there!
Ogremon,
Centaurumon, Genii is riding the... I can't remember the name of that. Digimon.
Let me... Mechanorimon.
Mechanorimon. See, I knew it.
Okay. Whatever.
So him riding a Mechanorimon... Centaurumon is there, and the absolute Chad unit, Ogremon, is there in the background, and he recognizes her from the photo. It puts it all together, and I have to assume like the memories of defeating Apocalypsemon and like assaulting Piedmon's castle, all that shit comes flooding back for him. The ring sparks. And then he reaches up and with his own hands breaks the dark ring off of his neck.
Yeah.
So
now
fucking
you see
sick.
Why Wormmon was like, hey, maybe ultimates aren't the best idea.
Yeah, maybe you don't go after ultimates, man. That's probably not the best idea you've ever had, if I'm being perfectly real with you, man. So after that, the Digidestined return home, and Izzy reprimands them for opening a digital gate at night and the consequences if a teacher had discovered them, before then explaining that he found out that the new explaining what he found out regarding the new Digivices, and dubs them D3s to help them tell them apart from the original Digivices.
Sure. So that you can tell them, you know what to yell at your mom to buy at the store.
Mom, buy me a D3! It's episode 7 of season 2 and I already don't have a D3. This is bullshit.
I don't have a D3. I specifically need you to not get the old one. The old one isn't cool anymore.
The old one isn't cool anymore. I need the D3, actually, because that's only compatible with the other D3s. The other kids at school will make fun of me for not having. Actually, the other kids at school are going to make fun of you for having a Digivice.
Yeah.
But you also, got to have it.
I want you to take a look at this photo you sent me again real quick. Just take a look at Palmon.
Let's see Palmon.
And Gomamon, for that matter.
They're derping out. They're derped off real fucking hard.
They are so stoned.
Let's make that the episode image for this one. Okay. Just like Palmon, like high as hell.
I'll leave it to you to crop that properly.
Yeah, I'll crop that up. Yeah, I'll make that. So Izzy's like, hey, what the fuck? Like, what if a teacher came in and turned the fucking computer off while you were in there? Huh? Explain yourselves.
Yeah, where would you get out then? Huh? Use it to find a random TV. Like, you don't know where that's going to take you in the real world.
I don't fucking know. I had to save Kari, okay? I had to do what needed to be done. Right? You understand me? And Izzy's like, well, I learned some other things about that. And they're like, hey, shut the fuck up. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Tell us tomorrow. And that's the end of the episode, which means it's time for us to rate this scale rate this episode, rather, on a scale of Rookie to Mega.
I'm gonna say an ultimate for this one.
Okay.
First of all, we have the return of some good goats. We have a little image of Ogremon, and we have Andromon just being kick ass. We have a really interesting setup for the episode that we haven't gotten in season 2 so far, which is actually separating someone from the group.
Yeah.
Because everyone could just hop in at any time or hop out at any time. Yeah. There's not really this sense of being like trapped behind enemy lines, except I will say for the original like digi partners.
Yeah,
like we saw what happened to Gabumon. Holy shit. And Gomon.
Yeah, Gabumon got fucked up, but he was trying. Oh man, it was so cool. He was like, Gazimon, rise up, you have nothing to lose but your chains. He comes in all Marxist and shit, and Digimon Emperor dicked him over for it. You know what? I'm gonna give this episode a mega, because I feel like any episode that hits an emotional beat so hard that it makes me tear up a little bit, that's a mega.
Fair enough.
When I saw Andromon, maybe it's the estrogen talking, but when I saw Andromon remember, you know, and then like he reaches up and he breaks the fucking ring off of his own neck.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, dude.
Sick. And we have Angemon digivolving and being a badass.
Yes. Yeah. It's a really good, which is, I think, what a show should be doing, is hitting fan service from the first season.
Yeah.
Like a show should definitely be like, hey, remember season 1? Remember how cool it was when, you know, when you met Andromon the first time?
Hey, remember when Leomon fucking died?
You remember when Leomon fucking died? You remember when Waymon fucking died?
Oh my god. Remember Waymon's fucked up biotechnical insides?
Remember that shit? That was so cool. Yeah. So for that reason, I give it a mega.
Give me my drop.
Oh, we doing it?
Give me my drop.
Okay, here we go. Pussy
2. Ha-ha!
What you got?
Guess what? I tricked you. This isn't actually porn, or at least it's not going to start off as porn.
Okay. Oh! TK is about to feed fried eggs to Patamon, who is like either yawning or definitely like, feed me.
No, those the symbols above are for like opening your mouth wide to eat. Paku paku, that's it.
He's like, bah.
He's like, ah, give me egg.
It's so fucking cute. And TK looks like confused. And this is like kid TK. This is TK's back like, from season one.
Okay, TK. Don't know why you're so excited for eggs, but here you go, buddy.
Right amount of salt, right amount of pepper. I'm fucking excited about eggs.
Yeah, also, lived in the Digimon world. They had to fucking live off nuts and raw meat that grows out of the ground.
As farmed by a Palmon, go check out our Patreon for some Digimon World 1 content.
Yeah!
We got... Oh my god! We got Vemon feeding a chocolate bar to a little Triceratops Digimon!
I think it's called Gamamon?
Gamamon!
From I love her! She's awesome! Yeah! I love this just... They both have their chocolates. They've even got a little thing of Whoppers. A little box of Whoppers.
Yeah!
They're just having themselves a little chocolate time and smiling and yay.
They're sitting on a little picnic blanket on an idyllic green field with a puffy cloud sky. Very, very cute. You said this doesn't start out as porn. I'm wondering how depraved this gets.
Oh, we're following the same theme.
Okay. What? Not all Renamon are fit, you know, says a chubby little Renamon with a bag of whack Donald's.
Yeah, who appears to be squatting as if giving birth or showing off.
Yeah, she's either like, you know, because she's nude. Yeah. And her boobs are like hanging off to the sides. Like she's got like big saggy tits off to the left and right of her chest.
Normal about this. I'm going to have to put all of these in the description this time.
Sure, because we can do that.
Because the first two are adorable, and the last one is for Shannon.
Hey, Shannon. Welcome back to the show.
I did feeding Pokemon as the theme this time for you.
You say Pokemon?
Yes, I did. I fucked up. where's my flog?
we don't say that word here.
I had to do my mea culpas while flogging myself.
B-A-S-U-D-O-M-I-N-A. Hit yourself with a fucking board. And finally, we must choose our digital champions.
I'm going to say TK.
Okay.
Because Daisuke gives him every opportunity to go, hey, shut back the fuck up, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you're making so many assumptions about what you could even potentially get out of any of this.
Yeah.
And, like, you're fighting so hard for something that is out of your grasp, my guy. She doesn't like you. Chill out.
Yeah. When Kari calls out to Daisuke and TK when they show up to rescue her, she says Daisuke's name first, and then Daisuke goes, hey, TK, did you hear that? She said my name first.
Yeah, and TK is basically like, if you were actually confident about it, you wouldn't have to point that out.
He said... Good for you.
Good for you, bud.
Yeah, TK being the bigger man is very cool and very true to his character because he was always a good-hearted little kid, and now that he's growing up, he's just like, hey, you know, it's fine. Yeah. Whatever you got to do, man. It's cool.
Was it TK or Matt who was about to beat the shit out of Daisuke?
I want to say it was Matt.
Right, yeah, Matt was like, if you were my brother, I'd beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, if you were my brother, I would fuck you up right now. Yeah, we were both like, what?
No.
Then again, TK would never fucking act like that. So Matt would never have to put Matt in that.
I guess.
I said that like an abuser. Would never have to put Matt in that position.
I was going to say, that's a bad argument.
No.
that's he deserved it kind of shit.
That's not healthy.
No.
Yeah, we can't be healthy all the time.
I'm going to bleep that.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Not least of which, because I accidentally used the English name.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay. My digital champion is Andromon.
Yeah, for pulling the ring.
Pulling the ring off. And for just acing two armor digivolutions like it was fucking nothing.
Yeah, although it's worth remembering armor digivolutions are kind of...
Yeah, they're weaker than a champion.
They're like 1.5.
Yeah. They're like 1.5s. But still... Very fucking cool to see him just like swat him away, just like the same attack twice. Just, you know, it just reminds you. I like how they reset the power scale. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How, because like season one, we started with our rookies, and then each episode we got a champion Digivolution for like the first, what was that, seven episodes? We got a little power creep out of the team there. Yeah. And then it took a long fucking time for most of them to get ultimate. And only two of them got mega, right?
Yep.
Now we're back. We have even a lower power creep, so we get to have another power jump when we get to champions later.
And then we'll have fusions.
And then we'll have fusions and shit. Like, it's going to get wacky. So just a reminder of exactly how powerful an ultimate is, I think, is very cool.
Yeah.
Because there was a time when ultimates became, yeah, we'll just,
yeah,
you know, Lilymon will kick their ass.
Yeah, Pixiemon had to job and get nuked to set up, like, yeah, the four megas.
Yeah. R.I.P. to Pixiemon.
And then, like, the bad guy of the weeks were ultimates, and it's just,
yeah. Yeah. And then eventually we had, like, arcs where we had to fight megas.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. Which, megas are, like, gods, basically.
Yeah, quite literally when we get to Tamers.
Yeah, yeah, it's gnarly.
That, like, the only megas you encounter for a long time in Tamers are literally the four gods.
Yeah. Ah, oh, God, I can't wait for Tamers. That's going to be so
fucking good. Yeah!
Terriermon!
Can't wait to constantly off to Renamon. I'm bleeping that one, too.
The whole episode. Each episode, we're just... All right. Little tight episode this week. I think we did a great job here.
Tight. From all tight the food episode. We stuffed into it.
I stuffed myself with food. I'm going to make double batch of fried rice after this.
Yeah, I'm gonna eat way too much Little Caesars.
Fuck yeah. Corla, hit him with the plugs.
I run another little show called Post Ponies. It's a retrospective of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic and the rise of American fascism. We're doing a tiny little update trying to actually bring the second half more into focus in the non-episode review bits. Like, we've been talking about the current events of each episode's release, but we haven't gone into really any of the context. So we're doing a lot more of that. We're getting political, bitches. Cool. Cool. Suck our nuts. All eight of them.
Suck our collective transfeminine balls.
All eight. Suck our quad. I'm a Krogan now, bitch. I'm also Scary Terry, bitch.
Bitch. I was on a recent episode.
Oh, hang on. That, so smallgayhorse.com. Okay.
Smallgayhorse.com. I was on a recent episode of Post Ponies. Is that one out yet?
Yeah. Should
yeah,
be.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. Who knows? You don't know.
You don't know.
Neither do I.
I'm you checking. Out. Okay.
But yeah, real funny episode. Great energy at the beginning. I think I threatened the CEO of Zencastr, if I remember correctly.
Oh, we both did.
Yeah. Everyone was talking about, you know, bringing an end to their life.
It's not out just yet.
Not out just yet.
Look out for it, folks.
Look out for that. I'm going to be on that.
Look out for actionable threats against CEOs and COOs, for that matter.
You should also check out my other show. It's called Radio Free Tote Bag. It's a show about relationships. We do heartfelt advice and goofy japes.
Riftba.
And it's a really fun time. We recently had an episode... Probably, I'm gonna say it's like a all timer. It's like a top five episode of the main feed with the homie Marcos from the Ain't Shit Show.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking completely unhinged, like a really fucking weird, cool dude who helped us answer some listener questions. Really fun episode. Go check it out. Yeah. You should also go check out our Patreon at patreon.com/datatransfer, where we are doing a Let's Play series of Digimon World 1. So if you want to see us, you know, Digivolve, we got that episode out.
Into poop.
We Digivolve into poop. We also Digivolve briefly into a purple mole.
We kill the shit out of that poop.
Oh, that poop monster died so fast. Gets killed instantly, as poop monsters should. Can Numamon Digivolve in that game?
Yes. I kept telling you there's a little secret with him, and I'll show you eventually.
Okay, cool, 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 cool. Can't wait. But yeah, check it out. Patreon.com/datatransfer. $3 gets you just the content. But for the first 20 people who sign up, you get the shout out on the main feed, which we're going to do right now.
Yeah. Also, read fucking the B-manual.
Read fucking the B-manual for sure.
RFTV. Like, read the fucking main. Anyway.
You're going to have to cut this out because I have to sign out of... my RFTV Patreon to get into
That was the best bit I've ever made, and you want me to cut it? No!
No, you don't have to cut that. You just have to cut the part where I'm getting into... I'm getting into this, where I go to the creator page. And we're going to shout out the people who joined us for $5 a month for the first 20 people who join, right? You get the shout out for the first 20 people. And these people signed up at the $5 a month level, which will eventually become a $10 a month level.
I want to do them alternately. Give me the list.
Yes. Let me, I'll just screenshot this for you.
Give me. I'm going to read some names.
Do you want to start?
Yeah. We're going to start off with Maya,
Teresa,
Bubba Nitro,
and once again, my Metamore Gigi.
Yay, Gigi!
Thank you for supporting us at the Digidestined tier. You truly are the Digi in Armon.
You truly are the crests to our Digivice.
Yes, I like that. Folks, you are the best. And you listeners of this show are among an elite squadron of people who mostly rated us 5 stars, the ones who did. One of you rated us 4, which, yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah. Get out there and...
I want to get a whip and crash into the white-owned businesses. Fuck yeah, Zach.
Should
Cox.
I bleep that? Should I bleep my part? I think that was actionable.
Don't, yeah, the way you said it. Drive a truck into a white-owned business this week. I was quoting a song. You were giving instructions.
Yeah, you're going to have to bleep me and leave you. That's fine.
Perfect. Also, ratings and reviews on iTunes, Spotify, and otherwise. Wherever you can give us 5 stars, please give us 5 stars. It helps us get more visible, and it helps us expand our audience. Okay? Tell your friends, too.
Yeah. Make sure to leave a 5-star review that says, I like when Renamon gets inflated big and round.
Tell your friends, but not your parents, because that will change their opinion of you. Okay. This week, you're going to get out there and you're going to buy the products.